Hey, everybody, welcome back to a brand new episode of the Comedy at the Carlson Cast, now with 100% more in-studio guests. I'm your host, Vinny Paulino. It's episode 119 with our guest, Greg Hahn. Today's episode is brought to you by our good friends at Sapori Rochester. They're located inside the Powers Building atrium. They are Rochester's favorite place for lunch. They are open for lunch. You can order them on Grubhub. You can have them cater your very own special event. You will not be sorry. Check out at Sapori Rochester on Facebook and Instagram. Also, Three Heads Brewing, my favorite place to go for a beer. I just spent a beautiful summer evening sitting out on their patio. It was an amazing time. They are open. Check out threeheadsbrewing.com for more information. And remember, it's nice to be important, but it's always important to be kind. Now, shoot it back to me in the studio. It is so amazing to be back. It feels so good to be back behind this desk with my microphone. I missed you guys. I missed the studio audience. I missed you guys watching us live. Here we are, baby. This is the new normal. Comedy at the Carlson is open. We're open in our showroom. There's a lot of things we want you to know before you come out to a show, and we know that you will, because if the turnout for our Comedy in the Parking Lot's been any indication, you folks have missed comedy and you want to come and see it, and we want you to be able to. So listen, Joe, Shoeless Joe's my producer today. It's just me and him in the studio. Joe, could you hit my PC for me? There we go. So listen, there's some things we want you to know before you plan on coming out this weekend. And by the way, for those of you who are watching this live, there is going to be an opportunity to win some tickets to see Greg Hahn this weekend. So stay tuned for that. But before we get too far, we want to let everybody know that we are going to be operating under limited capacity. We have separated all of the tables and chairs in our showroom. You can see that in the bottom of the screen. There's plenty of space between you and the other guests. We've also changed our cleaning protocols. Well, not changed. We've increased them, actually, if we've done anything. We've also set up hand sanitizing stations all around the club. Our staff is going to be wearing face masks. They're also going to be subject to temperature checks. That's a very important thing. Hand sanitizer is going to be available at all the entrances. We're going to be using disposable menus and disposable silverware and cups. And we will not seat separate groups at the same table, only people that you came with. We ask you to do two things. We want you to come enjoy a show, but if you're not feeling well, we want you to stay home. Not a lot to ask. There'll be other shows you could come see, but if you're not feeling well, just stay home. Don't put anybody else at risk. And also, if you are coming, we are asking people to please wear your face masks. There's not going to be any exceptions on this. It's just the rules. If you're going to wear your, you could wear your mask when you're walking around the building, if you have to go to the bathroom, if you're going to the bar, when you're first coming in and when you're leaving. But if you're sitting at your table, you're fine not to wear it. Okay? I think that's a good deal. That's New York State's regs. So I think we could get around that and still enjoy a show. So that being said, back to me. And Greg Hahn is going to be in here in just a little bit. Our text line is open. You can text right now. Your questions, 585-484-0265. They're going to come straight to me here on this computer screen. So we hope that you participate. If I ask your question today, you are going to be in the entry to win a pair of tickets to come see Greg this weekend and check out the new socially distant showroom. I should also let you know, if you want to hit my screen again, we have another show coming up this Sunday. It's a Juneteenth celebration with our friends Chaz and Dash. There's going to be, from what I understand, live music. They had talked about doing this show in the parking lot, but apparently it's going to be thunder and lightning, so we are going to be moving inside. Laughter is therapeutic, a night of comedy. It's going to be good. Check out carlsoncomedy.com for more information or to get your tickets. The show is at 8 p.m. It's this Sunday, and Chaz always puts on an awesome show. Back to me. Chaz and Dash, two very, very funny guys if you like the TikTok. You a TikTok guy, Joe? If you could tell by my breath, I'm not even a Tic Tac guy. I suck. I miss Brian already. So we have one other announcement before we bring Greg Hahn into studio. To all of you young comics that are watching the show, we haven't announced our Funniest Person in Rochester contest. We haven't had a new comic night. There hasn't even been an open mic in the city in months. There hasn't been an open mic anywhere in months apart from online. And that is going to change because we are excited to announce, Joe, hit it, baby. New Comic Night is back at Comedy at the Carlson. We are returning Saturday, July 18th. You can sign up online for this one. Usually we have people come, put their names in a hat, and we draw them. We pick 20 people and let them perform. We're doing it something very similar. You go back to me, Joe. But we're having you do the entry. Instead of coming into the club and doing an entry live that night, we're going to have you submit it in advance. CarlsonCast.com for information on how to do that. We hope that you will. You know, new comics, anybody, every comic I know has been chomping at the bit to get back on stage, and there haven't been a lot of opportunities. Well, there's an opportunity for 20 of you to perform. All you have to do is sign up. Your names are going to go into a hat, and I'm going to do a live drawing on July 1st and let everybody know who will be performing at New Comic Night, July 18th. So that being said, we're going to have a few words. I'm sorry, I did the voice. I know you're sick and tired of hearing my voice, but you're going to hear my voice a little bit more. We're going to play a little bit of the upcoming promos, let you know who's coming and scheduled to perform here at the Carlson pretty much for the rest of the year. We have an awesome schedule. There's some holes still that we're about to fill with some pretty big surprise guests, so keep an eye on that. Hit that, Joe, and we're going to be right back with Greg Hahn. Hey, folks, we're so excited because we have been socially distant for so long. We're back. We're indoors. John Radinsky, June 25th to the 27th. Abby Feldman will be here one night only, July 8th. Pablo Francisco, July 9th through July 11th. Dave Smith will be here July 11th, 8th. One night in the Rickles. Pablo Earl Francisco, David Reed will be here July 9th through July 11th. Steve O will be here July 11th, July 24th and 25th. I believe tickets are sold out for that show. Pablo Francisco will be here July 9th, July 11th, 1st through August 1st. Steve Schneider, July 26th, 25th. I believe tickets are sold out for that show. Pablo Francisco will be here July 9th, July 11th, 1st through August 1st. Michelle Wolf will be here July 21st, 25th. I believe tickets are sold out for that show. Pablo Francisco will be here August 27th to the 29th. Jessica Kirsten, also a first-timer, September 10th through the 12th. Michael Rappaport, September 17th through the 19th. And Tom Green and Harlan Williams together, September 25th through the 26th. Gotta get these lights fixed. The Sklar Brothers will be here, October 16th through the 17th. Mike Damber returns, Halloween weekend, October 29th through the 31st. Ryan Nymiller, he's been rescheduled, will be here November 5th through the 7th. Jay Moore returns November 12th through the 14th. The Slam Man himself. Pauly Shore, brother. What's up, Weasel? November 15th. Adam Ray will be here November 19th through the 21st. And Pete Corelli, December 3rd through the 5th. Also a reschedule. So, folks, we're open. We're here. If you want to come laugh and join us, visit carlsoncomedy.com or call 585-4-COMEDY. If you're not feeling well, we don't want you here, so get well soon and come to a show. I don't think
I
know.
Is that a movie I missed?
It must have been.
Yeah.
Everybody, Greg Hahn's in the studio with us.
Thank you, everybody. Great to be here. Come on, what a party. Rochester.
We're
open again. Inside show.
Yeah, we are very far apart. We've got cameras. We've got a table. We've got all sorts of stuff. It feels good to see another person in the studio besides me today.
Nice to see you, Vinny.
Thank you, Greg. So this is the new normal, man. Is this
what is first? What's being interviewed?
Yes.
The distance,
the new regulations and things that comedy clubs are going to have to deal with now after a pandemic.
For how long?
Who knows?
I say I don't think we're ever going to lock down again. This is it.
Maybe not.
Enjoy it. Enjoy being away from people while you can, because we're all going to get tight again. It's coming up.
I feel like it was a nice little pause button.
Yeah.
It was a nice little pause button. Some people it was an absolute living nightmare. Other people really enjoyed it.
I think it's going to make us all floss more.
Sure.
Because when you wear that mask, you smell your own breath.
Yep.
And we've all gone up to flossing like 3 times a day, I feel.
And those of you who haven't gone up to 3 times for flossing a day, you deserve what you get. You get to walk around and smell it.
Yeah.
In the words of Jimmy Schubert, you know, sneezing in that mask is the new crap in your pants.
Is that right?
Yeah, okay, that's what Jimmy Schubert says.
He's funny. I love that guy.
Yeah. So
he was there the first day I ever did open mic. Jimmy Schubert was there. My first time on stage.
No kidding. Vinny.
Yeah, Jimmy Schubert was there, and also Mitch Hedberg was there.
No kidding.
Yeah, they're like, Mitch, you got to put your name on the list to go up on stage. And he kind of said, like, So they put his name on the list, and he went up last. And I remember he just went up there and he just went, why is everything always got to be Zeppelin, man? Why's it always got to be Zeppelin?
that was the joke?
Yeah, he was an open micer. Beautiful. It was great, man, but there was something very funny about it.
That's amazing.
Yeah, anyway.
What year was this?
I don't know, 1991.
Well, you've had a really interesting kind of career in general.
Kind of career, that's what I'd call it as well.
In stand-up, but you have had careers in a lot of different fields. You've done a lot of different things. I mean, you were a captain in the Marines.
Right, well, that was 4 years.
Right.
Yeah. I was lucky they let me in. It was great. And the Marines are funny, man. I'm telling you, they're funny.
Environment
where they're the funniest. You know, in civilian world, they go, oh, that guy's a madman. We say that, oh, that dude, oh, my friend's a madman. And the Marines, you're really friends with real madmen. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
In an environment with, like, everyone's wearing the same uniform and speaking, learning the same lingo, I've never met so many outstanding, hilarious individuals, you know? Wild personalities.
Why don't more stand-ups come out of the Marine Corps?
I don't know. They could.
You think?
Yeah, more. I think that's a good question. I don't think it occurs to a lot of Marines to become a stand-up comic.
Well, how did it occur to you?
I always planned to go and go bananas in the Marine Corps, go crazy for the number of years, and then come out.
Right.
And how did it occur to me? I always kept it in the back of my mind. One of the things that happened to me was a guy came and did comedy at my college. They paid him $10,000, and he bombed. I thought, man, I could totally bomb for $10,000. You know?
Right. Right.
But really, he did not get a laugh through the whole set. I remember he said, they said cocaine to him, and he said, if I don't play the game, I don't want the name. And that got a little bit of a chuckle. Other than that, the whole hour was just dead.
Were people chuckling, going, what was that?
I don't know, but I remember I thought, okay, that's the closest thing he said to a joke so far. It was a whole hour he did, and it was like, he got $10,000. I always thought that. I thought, man, I could do better than that. And that dude got $10,000.
And he's just rhyming.
I'll bomb for $5,000.
I'll bomb for anyway, whatever. Right now. You need an opener? Right. Let me know.
Yeah.
So hold on a second.
Yeah.
You got the idea to start stand-up in college, but you enlisted in the Marines, and it just stuck in the back of your mind. Is that what you're saying to me?
Right. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
Was that your first exposure?
Yeah, I just studied. Was that what?
Was that like your first exposure to stand-up live? Did you ever go to a club or anything before that?
Not too often. I used to watch it. You know, you see comics come out. I used to like Rodney Dangerfield.
Sure.
Maybe that's where I got my rapid punchline type style or something.
Could very well be.
I ripped him off. And then yes. I always like that. I like the getting to the fast stuff quick. You know?
You have a very high-paced act in general.
Right, yeah.
I love it.
That's
one of my favorite things, because people who could write consistently funny, quick things, it's such a talent. It's lost,
sure?
I feel. Yeah.
Because I'll write with guys like, I'm friends with Tosh, and every now, you know, once a year, once every 2 years, we'll sit down and write together. You know what I mean?
Sure.
And I'll be like, what about these germaphobes? They can't shake your hand. They got to give you the fist bump. You know what I do? I grab their fist. I hold my armpit for a count of six. Right? And I'm like, boom, done. I got it.
Right.
And for him, it's like, no, he works on a joke, you know, and then he'll come back and give it another layer and then another layer. Do you know what I mean?
But yeah,
for me,
absolutely.
I'll be like, yeah, I woke up this morning. I did burpees. I think it's from the roast beef last night.
Right.
I'm like, done. And he's like, you think you're done? You think that's it? Like, you think you're done writing? I'm like, yeah, that's it for me. It's perfect.
But,
and he'll like continue to expand his jokes on and on and on.
Well, and you can't compare expanded. Yourself.
I did Conan in 91.
Okay, so hold on.
Yeah.
What you're saying to me is you feel like you're resting on your laurels just doing these quick jokes? Is that your point?
I like them, but I'm glad that you think they're what would you say about them?
No, I love quick, fast jokes.
Right.
They're funny.
I don't know. I guess I do too.
Yeah.
But there's some guys that work a long time on their jokes. I mean, they come up with like in-depth jokes.
Well, please don't think that I'm saying that you wrote them quickly. I'm just saying they are delivered quickly.
Well, I'm telling you, I wrote them quickly as well.
Okay, fair enough. Fair enough.
I like to be a storyteller, Vinny. Do you tell stories?
Yes, I do.
Those guys have a new hour every year.
Yeah.
You got to tell stories,
man.
Because
they like the punchlines.
With punchlines in the story.
Why don't you do it?
I don't know. I get uncomfortable.
Do you feel like...
a story. I'm telling this one story, and I can't even make it funny, but this really happened. One of my worst shows. You want to hear this real quick? I was in Washington, D.C., and a lady was in the front row. She was drunk. She kept opening her umbrella just to call attention to herself. Had a big glass of ice water.
Okay.
Right? It's a full-size umbrella. She's just, you know.
She's just opening it.
Opening it to be funny in the front row, you know, pointing it at me and opening it. So I had this big glass of water. So I thought I'd just throw the ice. There was a lot of ice in there.
Yeah.
Ice and water, bounce it off her umbrella, right? So I throw the ice, but as I'm throwing it, her umbrella closes. I see it start to close and think, oh no. And the big block of ice goes right past her, nails the lady in the face right behind her, who just starts howling, my eye, my eye. And then it turned out that she had a glass eye and I hit her good eye. So,
this isn't
true. So the show's, it's 100% true.
So you hit a lady.
Yeah, anyway,
you had a 50-50 shot and you hit the wrong eye.
Hit the wrong person, wrong eye. Anyway, so the show ends and I just sat with her and sipped beers until her eye cleared up. But anyway, so you think you could make that an interesting story, right?
I think it is an interesting story.
I don't know. It doesn't work on stage. I'll do it this weekend. I say, like, I take out the glass eye thing because I think that's too tough. I just say, hit her right in the face, and then show's over, and then she kept then she was stepping on all my – had her thrown out. She was stepping on my punchlines. My eye! My eye! Had her thrown out. The okay. crowd just sits there like, dude, no wonder you don't tell stories.
Maybe call Tosh on that one. Maybe call Tosh.
Right,
get some layers built into it.
Yeah.
You need some layers.
I know. I need some layers.
So
but anyway, but storytelling's where it's at. I'm going to work on that.
Why not? You can do anything. There's no right or wrong with comedy.
Well,
you
can if there's no laughs, it's a big wrong.
That's accurate. That is very accurate. Yeah. But in a seasoned hand like you,
yeah.
you could do any type of act you wanted to if you applied yourself.
Yeah, applied.
As long as it felt real to you, right?
Yeah.
Isn't that the point of it?
I think I need to check up from the neck up. I think that's what you're saying.
Maybe a little bit.
I applied myself. That's Maybe. Where it's at. So, Vinny, you're 11 years in.
Yes, sir.
You got to apply yourself. But I'll tell you this.
Correct.
You're in a good spot. You're in a good spot. Do you know All right. why? I was going to tell you this off the air.
Because I'm behind the desk.
Yes.
Okay.
That's one of my jokes. But also, at 11 years, no matter what show you're offered or whatever, you can do it. Just show up and do it. If it's some cheesy show, like now, I'm so hoity-toity in my own mind, I'll get, you know, offered some show. Like, do you want to do your whole act and we'll pay you, you know, $2,500 and it'll be on the internet for the rest of your life? But everybody's doing it and it's this and that and whatever. There's different series. There's different things you can get offered. That I won't do now, but you can do them all, and they'll be all over the internet. You know, back in your time, I did Star Search, and lost in the first round. Even though I called my folks, told them to turn on the TV, I'm going to win. I did 30 Seconds to Fame. I did 3 Comics Unleashed. You know,
right.
I did. But anything that comes on network TV or whatever that where you could look stupid, you can do it. You're 11 years in. If you're 20, 25 years in, now you look bad.
Right, right.
Do you know what I mean? But right. 11, you can do every junky, crappy, stupid thing. You know, I didn't like 30 Seconds to Fame. It means you come out, you do 30 seconds of your act.
Yeah.
Right? Did you ever see that show?
No, that's
Of course not.
No.
Anyway.
I did not. So wait a second.
I changed my name to Stink Bingman because I didn't even want people to know my name on that show.
So hold on a second.
Yeah.
You're saying that I can just do any garbage that I want to.
Do all the garbage.
Do all the garbage. That's the career advice?
Yeah, at 11 years, yeah.
Okay.
And then from that, then you'll move up and you'll get like some good TV shots and stuff. Maybe you'll end up doing, I don't know, whatever. Is there any TV that's good to do?
No,
Fallon show
not even a little bit.
I
was actually going to ask you about this because, you know, you said to me when you first came in, you were on Bob and Tom this morning.
Right.
That show's interesting to me. I feel like they might be the only like comedy kingmakers left.
Oh, yeah? Okay, good. Good. Well, they gave me my career.
Yeah, they did.
They bought me my house. Yeah, I lucked out.
Well, they saw you off of Star Search, right?
They did. Yeah, where'd you hear that?
Internet.
Yeah, they did.
I was doing this crappy game show. They were just talking about it by the Kraft's Food Service table, and I was like, oh.
Yeah, they did. Uh-huh. Right, Bob and Tom's great.
Yeah, but
great.
Do you
great
feel like network TV, like late-night network TV, still gives the same buzz that it used
to? I don't know.
To?
I don't do late-night. These guys are so worried about keeping their jobs, they won't put me on the show.
Aren't you glad that
Plus,
we're not worried about it in Rochester?
I think I got a feedback once that I'm very obnoxious and masculine and like toxic masculine.
That's what they said. You were toxic?
Kind of like obnoxious, toxic, too much Marines and working out, blah, blah. You know, I think the guy just didn't get me. I'll try again. I'll try to get on it. But I don't do much about that, so I don't know what power that has. I think podcasts are huge these days.
They are.
The big podcasts. That's where it's at. I think if you can get on Joe Rogan, it's better than getting on any of the late night shows. Wouldn't you say?
100%.
Yeah, yeah. So that's maybe aim for that. Start taking jujitsu, man.
I'll start taking any type of weird, anabolic, anything that I could find.
Yeah,
just all sorts of vitamins and stuff for your brain.
Yeah, something into your temple and get on that show.
Hallucinogenics, got to do some hallucinogenics.
Yeah.
Get that Rogan. That's some good career advice. So hold on. The career advice of Greg Hodd today.
What is my career advice?
Every piece of garbage that I possibly can.
Yeah, get on
and
the garbage.
Shoot for Rogan.
Right. I think that's not bad.
Okay.
Sure.
Okay. How do you... I mean, let me ask you this question. How do you describe your act to people? Because people have got to ask you.
I don't know, man. I try to picture people coming in and watching my show. I think they sit down, I come out, and it's a bunch of... They watch me, and they go like, when's he going to come out of this character? And then about 4 minutes in, they must think, I guess this is what we're doing. I think that's what they think. But I don't know. It must be fast-paced and crazy. And people that get it really get it.
Right.
And then people that don't get it run for their lives. But a lot of people get it, luckily.
Now... You didn't do any comedy. You were in the Marines. You come out of the Marines. You get a professional job. You start decide you want to get into comedy. What was your act like when you first started?
Same act.
You're telling me this is it. This is it.
Yeah. I mean, I've made it more understandable over the years, I guess.
Okay.
Because you get more wins. You know, you get more laughing audiences. That's how you start off, right?
Around year 12.
When you first start off, it's bomb, okay. Maybe you did okay. Bomb, okay, good. Bomb, you know, and then over the years, it's mostly good and then a rare bomb.
Right. So how many years in did you feel, like it took you to get kind of establish it? And how did people react to it when you first came out? Because this that high energy thing, you know, some great comics have been really high energy.
Yeah.
But I feel like you take it to another level at some point.
Yeah, I don't mean to make it like high energy itself, you know, doesn't necessarily mean funny at all.
Sure.
You know, so I don't know. I want it to be funny more than just high energy. If I could make it, you know, I've done recently, I take the mic out of the stand. That's what I'm doing this year. And it makes it a little more intimate or something. It does something. It's a different vibe.
Now, it's a new...
It makes me enunciate a little bit more. Because I talk fast, and as a bonus... I don't enunciate.
So for years, you were a mic and stand, center stage,
right,
delivering kind of a guy.
Right.
And I can understand that because you do, you know, your hands are moving a lot, stuff like that.
I'm not walking around. I'm not sipping water. How about these guys that have like 12 minutes, they've got time to sip water? I don't get it. Oh, I get it.
Okay. Sip some water. Yeah.
Well, this is a show.
Yeah.
You know, you're not in front of an audience right now. Anyway.
Sure we are.
That's a slight commentary.
Well,
dudes will do 5 minutes and they got to turn around and sip their water.
How did people react to you at first? Like, did people start booking you immediately? They're like, we got to get this kid, great energy?
Actually, you know what? It started. It got going okay, but I would have a lot of tankolas.
Okay.
You know, but again, you figure it out. I used to have a roommate and I'd come back. I used to like, it would be fun to bomb and record it on my tape recorder and take it back to him and say, all right, man, listen to this, dude. By the way, this guy was a madman who was always in the woods and always packing bullets when I came back from bombing at my shows. He'd be in the living room like packing his bullets. But anyway, I'd say, hey, I'm going to play my set. You guess how many people were in the audience.
Okay.
So I'd play the set. And he'd say, was anybody, I'd be like, full house. You'd hear like zero laughs, no laughs. And I wanted him to say like 10 or was empty or whatever, just so I could go, full house, man, 250 people. Anyway, what do you do? What do you do when you tank, man? You just, you get a Snapple and you sit in your car.
That's all you can do.
And you show up again.
It's the Snapple that gets you through it.
Yeah.
Go for the iced tea, or what do you go for?
Yeah, I get that, sure. That sounds good. Whatever. Yeah.
After a bomb, a little iced tea.
Right. But we're not bombing this week, man. Let's get positive about this.
You're not going to bomb this week.
Yeah, we're going to rule. No, Rochester rules.
Have you seen the room yet?
I walked through it to get to your office here. It's great.
Okay.
It's beautiful.
How'd you feel about the setup?
And I like the people in Rochester, too. And this is our first week opening up and coming inside.
Yep.
How's the setup? Fine. It's all spread out. Everybody's safe.
Yeah.
Wear your mask if you want. Is it a mandatory thing?
So the rule is simple. Wear the mask when you're moving around the building, bathroom, going to the bar, something like that. At your table, you don't have to wear the mask.
All right, great. There you go. Sit down, take your mask off.
I think that's pretty fair.
That's great. you know, wear it if you want.
Exactly.
I'm a mile away from the front row, so I'm not going to be spitting on anybody.
Sure.
No, people can come out and have a blast, have fun. I'm going to go berserk. I'm going to go back to my hotel, put the AC on frostbite, and hold perfectly still until the 7:30 show.
That's how you preserve your energy. Okay, so I have a question from a viewer. Alice Lauren wants to know, with all of your amazing credits, that's what she said.
Okay, she's a nice person.
She's a very sweet person. Which gig are you the most proud of?
What gig? The Bob and Tom show, for sure. The Bob and Tom series of shows. You can go on YouTube and see I've been on there a million times, but Bob and Tom show. And then today, this one right here, I'm most proud of because I'm still in it, baby. I'm on Vinny's show.
That's it. The Carlson cast, baby.
I live in the moment.
Now,
like a yellow lab.
Like a goldfish.
Yeah, like a goldfish.
Like a goldfish.
I got a goldfish, man. It's floating upside down on the top of the bowl. Could be dead. It's been that way for 3 months. Could be dead. Time will tell. What? Come on. I can barely spit that joke out. Go ahead, Vinny. I messed it up.
I don't know. I just noticed that we had a problem with our feed here.
That's okay.
It is okay. We'll survive. Hey, if you had to start off in comedy now, like it's 2020, you didn't do anything you've done. You have no credits. You have nothing.
Yeah.
Where would you start? What would you do?
Am I a million years younger?
Sure.
Career again, I'm real young again.
Sure, you're young again, but you have all the knowledge.
Oh, I'd be in Indianapolis, man, because you can just drive all over the place, just do the road like crazy.
Indianapolis is the spot.
Yeah, yeah. Go anywhere. Bam, 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 bam. You know all the clubs.
Yeah.
Just the whole Midwest thing, and then you go to New York, and then LA, or stay in New York, whatever you want to do. I'd say.
So you'd start in Indianapolis.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
I think that's drivable. Or maybe live right next to a great club, like maybe that one in Blue Ash in Cincinnati, Go Bananas.
Okay.
Maybe I'd move right next to a club and do that club constantly and then but within driving distance so you don't have to sit on an airplane so much.
Okay.
How's that?
I think that's a good answer.
Yeah, what would you do?
What would I do?
Yeah.
I don't know. Nothing that I've done so far. Do the opposite.
I don't know. You're in here.
I go back and Costanza and just go back into the opposite of my natural instincts. Might not be a bad move.
Right.
No, you know what? I got to tell you, it is pretty amazing to be so close to a great club.
Yeah.
It's one of the most amazing highlights of my life. I love that I know that this place is here, bringing in great acts from all over the country.
Uh-huh. You know what it is? I'm looking at these posters over here of all these acts that have been here.
Yeah.
And here's what's funny. When you first start off in comedy, I noticed, like when I was an opener especially, I'd look on the wall of a comedy club before I had to go on stage.
Sure.
Looking at the wall, I'd be like, oh, that guy's so good. That guy's unbelievable. Oh, that dude. Oh, that guy. Everyone to me looked like a legendary, brilliant comedian.
Yep.
And I would feel like, how am I even going to go on this stage? I shouldn't go on this stage. These guys on the wall are all so good, you know, guys and women. Then as years go by, here's what changes, Vinny. You look on the wall and you go, hack, hack. Is that person still alive?
Is that Rich Voss?
That dude ripped off that dude. That guy, what a prick. You know what I mean? You go right down the list.
Because you know everybody.
You're like, oh, this club's lucky to have me. That's the ego. That guy's good. But then other than that, most guys, you just go, no good, horrible, you know?
It does change.
Over the years.
There has to be, when you start off, there has to be some type of respect and awe of the business,
right.
I would say.
Right.
When you start off, you know, everybody has like the best intentions. They think everybody knows what they're doing.
But when you start off also, I wasn't familiar with all the hacky lines, you know what I mean? So if there was a sellout of an ambulance and the guy said, oh, here's my ride, I think, oh, that guy's clever.
Somebody drops a glass, fire the juggler.
Okay, I never even heard that.
You never
heard
fire the juggler?
No.
Okay.
The job opening.
Oh, there it is.
I'd be like, this guy is quick. You know? I didn't know back then.
There's a comic, and we'll save names, obviously. Not going to insult anybody, but I'm going to tell a story quickly. Guy did almost exclusively crowd work.
Uh-huh.
Did almost exclusively crowd work.
Yeah.
But it was the same crowd work every show. What's that?
Same crowd work?
Yeah, the same type of crowd work. Like he had nicknames for like he was like, oh, there's Slick and there's this and that.
Right.
And like, doesn't matter. This guy's Slick now. This guy's this now.
Right.
And they just call him out and they make it seem like it's in a complete illusion. It's a it's a finished act that's meant to seem like it's in the moment.
Right.
Do you consider that hack?
No. Hack, I think, means original or not original.
Right.
No, it's just a technique, I would think, that guy's doing.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Just
you don't
the technique.
Like that you can see that the magic trick is the same or you saw whatever. It's like, yeah, you're right when you said magic trick. It's just a trick, right. technique he's using.
Right. Okay.
You know, I don't know. What's the difference between that and a guy that does the same jokes? Like when I go up, I do my same first 7 minutes up front. It's the same.
Nothing. I would say that there's a little bit more nuance to tricking everybody into thinking everything's in the moment.
Right.
Until the second time they see you.
Yeah. I don't know. He probably has a few comments for people.
You're in the show the second time, and then you like you were slick at the first show. You showed the second time.
Come on. Your second show, slick.
And now over there, there's slicks over there now. Slicks over there now. What the hell is this about?
Come on. I have a slick every show. I'd start working that in. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I have a slick in every single show. And in this show, you're slick. You're the slick.
Okay.
He could do something like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
What kind of rooms do you like playing the most? Like, what kind of, like, what's your crowd?
When they laugh a lot.
Sure, sure.
I mean, it's easier if they kind of know you. Mm-hmm. That's the easiest, you know, the Bob and Tom audience.
Mm-hmm.
If they know you. But any crowd that laughs, I like. Any crowd that's ready to laugh usually goes well.
Sure.
Any crowd that wants to have a good time, then we're having fun. That's why Rochester's always good. People up here are like bottom liners, you know, real people.
Oh, yeah.
Fun. As soon as I talk to anybody up in Rochester, I like it.
Well, that's good to know.
It's got a good vibe.
We do have a good vibe. Mm-hmm. Now, how important... Have you ever had a real bad MC that's just ruined your vibe starting off a show?
Yeah. Endless times. Too many times to think about
it. You got any advice for MCs?
Be likable. Don't make everybody furious. That's my advice for MCs. Don't make everybody furious in there.
Solid advice.
Right. Try not to make everybody furious. That's it.
Have you seen an MC make someone furious before?
Yeah, bring them down or... Yeah, sure. I've seen it all.
Okay.
Everything bad you can do. I've brought up by a lady that was sobbing over her husband who just died. And if he could be here tonight and see this tonight and really crying...
Here's crying, Greg.
And now please welcome Greg Hahn.
You're kidding me.
No.
I saw a guy do something similar. He was like, I'm leaving right now. I'm leaving early. My brother's died of cancer in Pittsburgh, but I came here to do a show to maybe be cheered up a little bit.
So he could be cheered up?
Yeah.
Okay.
That was great. That poor guy.
But I mean, you know, everybody in the audience, that's one thing I think about in comedy. Everybody in the audience has a lot of people have a horrific story or going through something horrific, you know, in their life. Life is tough.
Yeah.
A lot of people have tough stuff.
Yeah.
And they come out to see us. So it's a pleasure for me to make them forget about it. You
sure.
know what I mean?
Sure.
Sometimes life can be very stressful.
If absolutely.
Somebody's sick in your family or whatnot, or you're sick, it's fun to just goof off.
But where's the punchline?
Well, it's in my act.
That's always the question.
Yeah,
that's always the question.
Yeah.
You could be sad. Just have a punchline for it.
Oh, that's a good point. Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's my goal when I'm up there. It's just like I can't see putting them through like what I'm – yeah, unless I'm going to make it funny. But I try to think about the people and relieving their stress a little bit. Like this weekend, I'll be doing no politics.
Yep.
I'll be doing no commentary on anything.
Good for you.
Right? Zero coronavirus commentary. Nothing. From me, anyway. Maybe the opener and middle will go into that, but I got nothing for it.
I feel like that's a wonderful selling point this weekend.
You think so?
Yes.
All right.
No coronavirus.
No corona talk.
No politics.
None. Zero.
Isn't it amazing?
You know what? I'm not big enough to split my audience in half. I want everybody to enjoy the show.
I think it splits your audience even more so than in half.
Well, some would say if you really hone in on a specific type of people, there's millions and millions and you can get that crowd in there.
Sure.
Or some go the opposite way. But I just go I've had entertainers that I think are great, and then they blurt out a bunch of their stuff, and I can tell they're very uneducated, and now it's all ruined. I can't enjoy their talent anymore, you know?
Interesting.
Why would they do that? Why would they do that to me? It's like they took their gift away from me. You know, I can't enjoy them. They're too stupid. It's too Their stupidity is too distracting for me to now enjoy their art.
That's the way a lot of people feel.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I don't put people through that.
Yeah.
Well, I got jokes, man. Let's do them.
I love
it. Let's have a beer.
I love it.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to seeing you this weekend. So, ladies and gentlemen, Greg Hahn's going to be here for three shows tonight, Friday night and Saturday night. If you tweet the show at CarlsonCast today, we are going to hook some people up with a couple of tickets, I believe, to tonight's show or Friday night show. I guess there should be some type of code word. We want to pick a code word, Greg?
Code word is... What's the code word? The code word...
Hack? No, let's not tweet hack. Let's not tweet hack to Greg's shows. What do we want to go with?
It's, reopen? Because the club's reopening?
Sure. Tweet reopen. We'll hook you up. I guess. We'll see.
No, the can we do it right now?
Yeah.
The code word is fearless.
Fearless.
Fearless. Because code... we're coming out, baby.
That's it.
We're not going to talk about the stupid corona tonight, but we know you're coming out and you're fearless.
Love it.
But you're safe. Fearless yet safe. Wait, the code word is fearless yet safe, comma, low gas prices.
No, fearless,
no, fearless
and safe, comma, low
fearless
gas prices.
Fearless fun. It's fearless fun. How about that? It's fearless fun.
Fearless fun. It is.
Is it two words?
That's two words.
Do we want one word?
No, fearless fun works for
fearless
me.
Fearless fun.
Tweet us. We'll say at CarlsonCast.
Yeah.
We will see you at a show.
I'm going to drop this weight. I'm fighting Diaz in November.
You're telling me.
Come on, man.
Until the next time.
What if McGregor calls?
Act right, Rochester. We'll see you next time.